Thank you, Lorraine, for that warm welcome. It's a privilege for me to be here with you, to share with you from the Word of God. Quite often my wife comes with me, but today she couldn't. She's in St. Louis, Missouri. We have one daughter that lives there. Her and her husband are studying at Covenant Theological Seminary. And so my wife took our other two daughters along, and they went to St. Louis. And they're having nothing but a good time. And I'm left at home feeling sorry for myself. No one has compassion on me. Hey, listen, it's good to be here. And it's always good to share the Word of God with people. I don't know of a greater privilege than to open up the Word of God and point people to that Word and encourage them to anchor their lives in that Word. And so, the topic may seem a little odd, diffusing conflict. Where's Xavier? Is he in here? He's not here. Okay. Listen. Oh, there you are. He didn't call me and tell me to speak on this topic, okay? Nor did Anthony call me and tell me to speak on this topic. Nor did anyone else. So I don't know what's going on in this church. I just know that churches sometimes have a little bit of trouble, okay? And the reason I'm speaking on it is because next Sunday, I get the honor and the privilege of preaching on it in my church. And so I was going to try some things on you. And if they backfire, you just tell me. It didn't go very well. And by the way, by way of introduction, Xavier, you need to know this. My sister and brother-in-law were part of this church when it first started. They were part of the mission church, and they were teaching Sunday school and helping with worship and music. And so they have good recollections of the early ministry of this church. They live now in Abbotsford as well. So this morning, I want to read Philippians chapter 1, or chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, okay? And then I'll go to the message itself. Therefore, my dear brothers, or my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for. Remember, Paul is in prison when he writes this, okay? He's been in prison somewhere between 3 and 5 years already. He's now in Rome. And he hasn't seen the Philippians for quite some time. He planted that church in Philippi, some 1,200 kilometers away. And so, the people in Philippi, they are supporting him while he's in prison. See, the prisons in that day were terrible, terrible places. Oftentimes, the prisoners would die of hunger because there was no food there. But Paul, because he was one of these lightweight criminals, that was terrible. He wasn't a criminal. He was considered, you know, a lightweight. I mean, a person who hadn't done much wrong, if any wrong. And he would be exonerated after the 5 years. But because he was looked upon as not a dangerous criminal, he was allowed to rent his own house. And he was allowed to have Timothy with him, living there. And Timothy would take care of his food, his supplies, his clothes. And the money for this came from Philippi, some 1,200 kilometers away. So that's why he writes, you whom I'd love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And then he says, I plead with two women, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be one of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Okay, we'll just go that far, and it'll take me an hour to get through. But I only have a few minutes. So we'll make good use of the time, okay? I want to show you the next slide, okay? Because it says there about the... Have any of you seen the Peanut cartoons? Yeah. You guys even know about that? They're amazing. They're amazing. It's Lucy lecturing Snoopy the dog. Okay? And she says, there are times you really bug me. But I must admit, there are also times when I feel like giving you a big hug. And rather smugly, Snoopy responds, that's the way I am. Huggable and buggable. And that's the way we are in church sometimes, right? Sometimes we want to hug the person, and the next time, well, they just rub us the wrong way. I heard about a pastor in Richmond. He had come into this church, and he had changed just the way everything was done in this church. But the people loved him, okay? And the one lady says, you know, I love you so much, but sometimes I'd like to grab you by the ear and shake you real good. Okay? Sometimes we're huggable and sometimes we're buggable. And that's true in the church as well. Sometimes we just have a hard time getting along with people. So I wanted to do is take you to the New Testament and just look at church squabbles, first of all. Take a look at the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Did you know that the Apostle Peter was Christ's number one apostle? He rose to the top. And then, after Christ had been ascended into heaven, sometime later, the Apostle Paul comes to faith in Christ. And Paul becomes the, should I say, senior apostle in the New Testament, and is a prolific writer. Part of it is because he spends a fair amount of time in prison. When you're in prison, you have extra time on your hands. And so he writes these different books to different people. We would never have it had he not been in prison. So God used it for good. Men meant it for evil, but God used it for good. And that's the way it is in our lives as well. Oftentimes, sometimes people want or mean things for evil in our lives, but God uses them for good. So here we have Paul and Peter. He's called Cephas here, okay? I'm not sure why Paul calls him Cephas, because Jesus gave him the name Peter. But here he's called Cephas. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Did you see that? Two of the greatest apostles in the New Testament. And Paul says, I opposed him to his face. He goes on, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined in him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, he doesn't pull Cephas aside, no, no. He wants the others to hear this as well. He says to them, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew? How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? They had a disagreement. And the thing is this, Peter knew better. Peter knew better. But because of the cultural pressure, he caved in and kind of gave up on the truth of the gospel. And so Paul confronted him. They happened. Another one was Paul and Barnabas. This one I just don't understand. Do you remember when Paul became a Christian? None of the other disciples would receive him. They wouldn't listen to him. In fact, they thought he was a mole, that he was there just trying to get information so he could come and capture them and throw them into prison. But Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas comes alongside Paul. He listens to his testimony. And he says, ah, this is a real convert. He is a real believer. And he brings him to the other apostles. And then they accept him. Barnabas, son of encouragement, okay? It says here in Acts 15, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Remember, John Mark at this time was very young. And with the pressures of ministry and the pressures of traveling like that and the opposition at times, at one point John, sometimes called John Mark, left and went back home. But now, sometime later, he comes back to the Lord and he wants to follow them. So it says here in verse 39, that they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Such a sharp, these are two apostles. Apostles don't fight, right? Pastors don't fight, right? Churches don't fight, do they? Sometimes we do a little bit, don't we? And I'm as guilty as anybody else, okay? I'm as guilty as anybody else. So they separated, they went their separate ways. And those skirmishes, they happen as well today. So what causes these fights? Can I suggest, I'm going to follow my notes a little bit, and then just to let you guys know, I'm going to deviate from it, because this morning I changed my mind on a few things. So if you look there, what causes fights and quarrels? Selfish desires. Selfishness. I want it. What is it? I want it my way, right? I want it my way. And James says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. Okay, they don't do it with knives, but they do it with words. Did you know you can kill people with words? Slander? I'm talking about in their spirits. You just kill them, you devastate them with words. Don't ever do that, okay? Don't slander someone. And if you have done it, confess. Make it right. Make it right. Okay? There's another reason we have conflict. I wasn't trying to hide on you. What do you see? What do you see? What's it say there? Tim Hortons. It doesn't say that on my side. It says hot. Chaudy, I think that's French. I don't see anything in Cantonese or Mandarin. So are you telling you disagree with me? I don't see Tim Hortons. And you know, that's where fights start. Because I see it my way. I see it from my angle, from my direction. And you see it from your direction. And we can never resolve the problem until I come around and I look at it from your point of view. And then you come around and you look at it from your point of view, from my point of view. Do you see that, folks? Oftentimes, conflicts start because we see it from our point of view, from our perspective. We don't see the other side. And unless we go to the other side, we'll never understand it from my side. That's why even, I'll give you an illustration, okay? I was at a conference, and I've spoken a number of times at Chinese churches, and at this conference, this young lady came and introduced herself and said, I've heard you preach many times. Can I sit beside you and talk to you? So I said, sure. So this is the classical conflict, okay? She says, my father is Mandarin. He's from mainland China. He grew up under communism. My mother grew up in Hong Kong, so she knows Cantonese. And she says, and I've grown up in Canada, so I'm westernized. Do you see the cultural clashes that happen? Because her father sees it from the communist side, okay? This is the way we do things. Her mother sees it from the Cantonese side or the Hong Kong side, okay, the democratic side. And she sees it from the Western point of view. But you know, maybe we need to, at times, just understand the other person
and then accept the other person? Do you know we can agree to disagree? My wife and I, we've been married now for 44 years or so, I think, something like that. You'd have to ask her how long we've been married. I can't remember. But we've been married for a long time, okay? And you know, the first year of marriage, and we sat down, we talked about this. I said, "You are a strange woman." And she says, "Yeah, and you're such a strange man." But you know, we embraced that. The uniqueness. There's something beautiful when we embrace each other's and embrace each other's uniqueness.
Okay, so I mentioned the causes of fight are number one is selfishness. Number two is we see things from a different perspective. The third reason is sometimes doctrinal issues. And on major doctrinal issues, there we need to stay true to the Word of God. And if it causes conflict, so be it. The truth must be held, regardless of whether it causes conflict or not. So those are the three reasons, okay? So how not to fight? Brothers and sisters, James says in James 4:11, do not slander one another. Folks, that's something we just should not do. We just should not do it, okay? Don't fight like, don't hit below the belt. I have to tell you a story. This is a true story. I was pastoring. I'd planted a new church. And in this church, we had a lot of new Christians. And with it, church is really messy, okay? They bring all their baggage with them into the church. And this one lady who was divorced was dating, listen to this, another married man. And she brought him to church. So I pulled her aside. And I said, you know, the optics of this are really, really poor. So I want to ask you for a favor. Please do not bring him to church with you as long as he's married. She says, we're going to get married. I says, but he's married. I said, maybe there's just that chance that God will work in their lives and bring them back together. I said, but biblically, it's just wrong to do that. And the optics are really bad. So please don't do that, okay? So she agreed, okay. I didn't realize it, but she went home. And she told her husband, or not her husband, her son, how terrible I was. That I would prevent her from bringing her husband or her boyfriend to the church. And the son didn't say anything to his mother. He was quiet. And then when his mother was gone, he gave me a call. And boy, did he let go. He says, Harry, you're the worst hypocrite on this earth. He says, I can't even tell you how bad of a hypocrite you are. And he went on and on and on. And then he says, you know, your church, all those people are hypocrites. You know what I'm thinking? The old nature came out, okay? Started coming to the fore. And I was thinking, yeah, sure. Thinking. I didn't say this, okay? I was thinking, yeah, sure. You're an alcoholic. You're a womanizer. And you're calling me a hypocrite? Do you know how it goes from there? I'm not going to tell you yet. We'll come back to it in a minute, okay? So, Paul then gives some a real-life example, and he gives a primary principle, okay? He says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Let's look at some other passages. I think I've got them there for you. If you look at the next section there. 1 Corinthians 16. Be on your guard. Stand firm. This is to you, folks, okay? This is to you. This is to me. Stand firm in the faith. Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm in that freedom, okay? 1 Thessalonians For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. For 2 Thessalonians, so then, brothers, stand firm. Standing firm means to follow Christ's teachings, respecting his word, modeling his priorities, loving his people, carrying out his will. So, back to my friend now, who told me that I was such a hypocrite. I was struggling with it. And you know, I thought of this verse. I forget where it is. But it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. It works in the King James Version, okay? So I thought, well, okay, I can't give them with my fist, but I can give it with words. But that's not right, is it? I'm misinterpreting God's word. But then I remembered another set of words. They come from King David as he was fleeing from his son Absalom. He was going up the mountain, and on the other side was a man by the name of Shimei. Shimei was hurling insults at David, throwing dust at him, you know, telling him he should die and all the rest of it. And then one of David's servants by the name of Bishai says, let me go over there. I'll cut off his head. Not a bad idea, huh? And David says, no, no. Perhaps the Lord has sent him. Those were God's words. Because I was trying to stand firm in the word of God, those words came. Perhaps the Lord has sent him. And then when he has finished his tirade, this is almost exactly what I said in these tones. I said, thank you for sharing that with me. I said, you know, you're right in a lot of what you said. You're right in what you said. I am a hypocrite at times. I don't always live by the word of God. I don't always obey God's word. I don't always listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I said, you know, and our church too. We have people who aren't living up to the word. I know that. But will you pray for us that I'll become a more authentic Christian? That I will stand true to the word of God? And that I will preach the word of God fearlessly? Dead silence. Absolutely dead silence from him. And I said, you know, I don't want to press this any further with you. But listen, let's get together for lunch next week. I'm going to buy, okay? And we're going to go to and I named a nice restaurant. And I said, we'll have a lovely meal together. And listen, if you don't want, we don't even talk about this. We can talk about politics. No, I don't want to talk about politics because people fight. But we can talk about hockey, football. You know, I can talk about those things. And he said, okay. Well, a week later, he phoned it off, okay? But at least I tried, okay? And then there's a relational need. I plead with Yodia and with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, okay? He's pleading with them. Move on from there. And he goes on to an affirming request in verse 3, where he says, yes, and I ask you, true companion, help those women, since they have contended at my side. In other words, this conflict is so severe, they need outside help. And listen, folks, I've been there, where I've been in conflicts that I just couldn't resolve. And what I do, I go and get someone to help me. I recall the one time saying to this man, look, the two of us are at odds with each other. He's calling me a heretic, okay? I don't think I am, but I'm getting nowhere with him. It's because I don't use the King James Version of the Bible. You know it's good enough for Paul, right? So it must be good enough for us. At least this is this guy's thinking. And I was using the NIV, which I'm still using today. And so I asked my friend to come in and mediate between the two of us. And he dealt with the situation beautifully. So there's that affirming request, okay? Let's others of you, get involved in this. Try and help resolve it, okay? And then lessons to be learned. We'll go over this real quickly. Clashes will continue to occur. They're going to continue to occur. They happened in the New Testament. They happened all the way through church history. And they'll happen again in the future. Okay? Number two. Not all conflicts are wrong. When it comes to doctrinal issues, we have to stand on the Word of God. We cannot budge on the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority in matters of faith and life, and we need to follow that, okay? Number three, stubbornness and selfishness may be at the core. Yes, sometimes it's stubbornness, sometimes it's selfishness, okay? In your conflicts that you have, sometimes it's because we're stubborn. And maybe we sing the theme song of our lives. I'm going to do it my way. Like Frank Sinatra sang that, didn't he? I did it my way. And look at the mess he made of his life. It's nothing but a mess all the way through. But he's proud. I did it my way. The fool. Number four, a mediator may be required. And number five, there is a reward for the mediator. I got to tell you this one. This really happened in our church. One Sunday morning, it was the first anniversary of our church plant, and we were expecting the place to be right full, okay? And all of a sudden, there's a commotion. And here, this one guy has come to church, and he is furious at his wife. And he comes into the church, and he's yelling at her. Well, we have a drummer who's got a firecracker temper. You know, you light the wick? It explodes. He just dropped his drumsticks. He ran at the guy, threw him to the ground, grabbed him by the throat, and said, "You apologize or I'll rearrange your face." This is in the service. Savior, what do you do? So I got a couple beefy men, you know, come in there. We separated the two guys. We sent the one guy home. Later on, I had him arrested because he threatened murder on his wife. So I had him thrown in jail for the night. And anyways, several weeks later, I was trying to bring these two brothers together. And, you know, it took a long time. It took me about a month to get it finally, so they could sit beside each other without throttling each other. And so here I am sitting in the restaurant with them, okay? One guy on one side, one guy on the other side. And the one guy says, "Harry, why are you so stupid to try and bring us two together? You know we're both hotheads. You know that fists could fly at any time. And you'd be caught in the middle." I said, "Yes, I know that." Look at number five, okay? Blessed. I said, why are you doing it? I said, "Because I'm selfish." He says, "What do you mean? What do you get out of it?" Right there it is. Blessed are the peacemakers. For what? They should be called children of God. So the next time you see a quarrel going on, why not step in and just say, "Hey, look, can I bring you guys together? Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker, okay?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the people here. Thank you for the love they have for you and for your word. And Father, as we all at times deal with conflict, help us, Lord, to stand firm in the Lord, to stand firm in your word. And Father, I want to pray too that you'll have your hand.